The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, July 6th, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 58th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some of the historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: The Fair Observer ran a wonderfully written and thoughtful piece on the lessons Shakespeare can teach us about Dylan Roof, the young man who murdered 9 African Americans in a church in South Carolina. The Salt Lake Tribune ran a story on how Utah Shakespeare Festival is saying goodbye to outdoor theater with a production of The Taming of the Shrew as it preps its new outdoor theater that'll open next year. The Charlotte Observer out of North Carolina ran a story on the canceling of Charlotte Shakespeare of its summer season due to financial difficulties. The Drum ran a story on the agreement between Samsung UK and the Royal Shakespeare Company to release a new educational app called Re-Shakespeare, aimed at 11 to 18-year-olds. The Guardian ran an interesting piece on the power of Shakespeare's stories over his language, citing many recent productions that tweak the idea of theater. It's a fascinating read. In the run-up to the upcoming Druid Shakespeare run at the Lincoln Center Festival in New York City, the New York Times ran an interview with Druid Theater director Gary Hines to discuss the ambitious project to bring the Henriad, the second history tetralogy, to the stage as a single 7-hour production. The Santa Cruz Sentinel ran a story on the progress of Santa Cruz Shakespeare's attempt at a season of gender equity, an initiative by the Northern California Troupe to try to produce the plays with equal numbers of male and female cast members. The Daily Press ran a story on the current season of Virginia Shakespeare Festival running through the first weekend in August in Williamsburg, Virginia, focusing on the strong female characters in both All's Well That Ends Well and Antony and Cleopatra. Greenville Online previewed Coriolanus by Upstate Shakespeare Festival, running through early August at Falls Park in Greenville, South Carolina. The San Jose Mercury reviewed Romeo and Juliet by San Francisco Shakespeare Festival, running through the end of September in Amador Valley Community Park in Pleasanton, California, saying that it gives the play a fast-paced staging. The Dallas News reviewed Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare Dallas, running through the end of July in Dallas, Texas's Samuel Grand Amphitheater, praising its achingly good cast. The Dallas Observer also reviewed the production, but not as positively, calling it pugnacious. NJ.com reviewed Love's Labor's Lost by Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey, running through the end of the month at the Greek Theater in Morris Township, New Jersey, saying that it is presented with a playful spirit just right for young, new, and relaxed audiences in a cohesive production. The New York Times also reviewed the production, saying it is an exceptional production. The Salt Lake Tribune reviewed The Taming of the Shrew by Utah Shakespeare Festival, running through September 5th on the campus of Southern Utah University, calling the production fast and furious fun. The Salt Lake Tribune also reviewed King Lear by the Utah Shakespeare Festival, saying that the production running through early September in Cedar City, Utah, makes the play both accessible and emotionally powerful, and the dramatic images it creates are stunning. Broadway World reviewed Measure for Measure by the Kingsman Shakespeare Festival, running through the middle of the month on the campus of local, at least for me, California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks, California, saying the production set in France in the 1890s is accessible, understandable, and entertaining for all ages. The San Francisco Gate reviewed Cymbeline by Marin Shakespeare Company, running in Forest Meadow Amphitheater in San Rafael through the end of the month, calling it a sophomoric lampoon. And finally, we had a slew of reviews for the new production of Measure for Measure at London's Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, a final main stage production for outgoing artistic director Dominic Drumgoole. Daily Variety reviewed the production, running through mid-October in London, calling it a corking good time. The arts desk also reviewed it, saying the production is content to skim the play's sunny surface. The Telegraph also reviewed the production, giving it only 3 out of 5 stars. The Daily Mail gave it 3 out of 5 stars as well, saying this production turns the play into a good old body romp. And finally, the Financial Times reviewed it, saying that there is more broad comedy in this dark, troubling play, excavating every dirty joke possible. Now, let's take a look at the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. For June 30th, I got nothing. But on July 1st, 1535, Thomas More stood trial for high treason for denying the Act of Supremacy, which stated that papal supremacy no longer existed under the new Church of England under Henry VIII. It didn't go so well, as he was executed by decapitation only 5 days later. On July 2nd, 1489, Thomas Cranmer was born. He was a leader of the English Reformation and the Archbishop of Canterbury under Henry VIII, supporting the concept of royal rather than papal supremacy. On June 3rd, 1468, Margaret of York married Charles the Stout, Duke of Burgundy. Margaret was the daughter of Richard Plantagenet, 3rd Duke of York, and Cecily Neville, and sister to both Edward IV and Richard III. On July 4th, 1776, the Congress of the Not Quite Yet United States proclaimed their Declaration of Independence. I know, it's not Shakespearean, but I'm an American. Plus, I couldn't find any bard-related news for that day. On July 5th, 1321, Joan of the Tower was born, the daughter of Edward II and Isabella of France, and the sister to the future Edward III. She would later marry David II of Scotland. On July 6th, 1483, Richard III was crowned in Westminster Abbey. 2 weeks earlier, his brother Edward's marriage had been declared invalid and thus his children bastards, leading to Richard's ascension. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending July 6, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.